Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include CECC annual report raises numerous concerns over persecution of Falun Gong. Recent Falun Gong events, my heart melted in the artworks. Swedish Medical Journal reports on China's industrial-scale organ harvesting crimes. Yanqing Procuratorate declines to charge Falun Gong practitioner. Hubei man tortured during 8 years of imprisonment. And, from martial arts to meditation to cultivation, a young Italian man's spiritual journey. Now for the stories. CECC annual report raises numerous concerns over persecution of Falun Gong. The U.S.-China Relations Act established the Congressional Executive Commission on China, CECC, in the year 2000 to monitor human rights and the development of the rule of law in China and to submit an annual report to the President and the Congress. The CECC's annual report for 2016 was released on October 6th and, among many other things, states the Chinese Communist Party and government further restricted the limited space for peaceful expression, religious activity, and assembly with harsh consequences for rights advocates, lawyers, and civil society, and continued to implement the world's most sophisticated system of internet control and press censorship, affecting both domestic and foreign journalists. The Chinese government and party continue to embrace rule by law, that is, using the law as a means to expand control over Chinese society while disregarding the law when it does not accommodate party imperatives or advance party objectives. During this reporting year, Chinese authorities continued to use black jails and other forms of extralegal and extrajudicial detention to suppress individuals such as those petitioning the government over grievances, Falun Gong practitioners, and rights advocates. Speaking about the release of the report, CECC Chairman Chris Smith noted, "Detained Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners were reportedly victims of the horrible crime of organ harvesting." The report states, "International observers, including the U.S. House of Representatives and the European Parliament, expressed concern over reports that numerous organ transplantations in China have used the organs of detained prisoners, including Falun Gong practitioners." The report states, in June 2016, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution expressing concerns about organ harvesting in China.
Recent Falun Gong events. My heart melted in the artworks. Practitioners of Falun Gong around the world have held public events for more than a decade to raise awareness and call for help and ending the persecution of the practice in China. This newsletter covers four events that took place in England, the USA, Canada, and Croatia during the past 2 weeks. Rally and march in London called for ending the persecution. Practitioners in London held a march and rally in the downtown area on October 1, 2016, to expose the facts of the persecution, especially the state-sanctioned organ harvesting from living practitioners in China. They also called upon the Chinese government to investigate the former communist head, Jiang Zemin, for his crimes in the persecution. Many people signed the petition during the event to support Falun Gong's peaceful resistance. The rally was held in front of the Chinese embassy in the morning. Several practitioners told the public about their own experiences of being tortured in China. The march kicked off at noon and ended at Trafalgar Square, where practitioners held a five-hour-long exercise demonstration and signature collection activity. Practitioners from San Francisco, USA, held a similar event on October 1, 2016. They also focused on exposing the forced organ harvesting in China. After a group exercise demonstration at Union Square in the morning, several hundred practitioners went to numerous tourist spots where they talked to people, passed out materials, and collected signatures. The Art of Zhen Shanren International Exhibition was held on the campus of the University of Fraser Valley in British Columbia, one of the largest public universities in Canada, with 15,000 students on September 25th through October 1st. All of the artworks were created by Falun Gong practitioners. The artwork deeply touched the students and faculty and were highly praised by local artists. A few art professors took their entire classes to the exhibition. One of the guests said that he learned a lot from the artworks and hoped that more people could see them. My heart just melted in the artworks, he said. Signature campaign in Croatia. Practitioners from Croatia held a signature campaign in downtown Rijeka, the third largest city in the nation, on September 29, 2016, calling for help in stopping the forced organ harvesting in China. The local residents strongly supported the peaceful resistance.
Swedish Medical Journal reports on China's industrial-scale organ-harvesting crimes. Authors of the book Bloody Harvest, Mr. David Mattis and Mr. David Kilgore, were invited to take part in a symposium in the Swedish Parliament on September 27, 2016. They held a discussion on taking legal measures to ban organ transplant tourism to China. The largest medical journal in Sweden published a report on its website titled Crimes Against Humanity on an Industrial Scale the next day. The article introduced a recently updated investigation report on the Chinese Communist Party's killing of thousands of prisoners of conscience and using their organs for transplant surgeries at the symposium with the report's authors on September 27th. The article cited the discrepancy between the Chinese official number of transplants, about 10,000 per year, and the investigation's finding of 60,000 to 100,000 per year. According to the investigators, the only explanation is that a large number of prisoners of conscience have been killed for their organs, including ethnic minorities, religious groups, and mainly Falun Gong practitioners, the largest group of prisoners of conscience in China. The report includes testimonies of torture survivors who have been threatened with organ removal, and also points out that while the Chinese government admitted to using death row prisoners' organs for transplants, the number of executed prisoners is by no means able to cover the total number of transplants. When asked about what Swedish doctors could learn from the investigation report, Kilgore said they would learn it was a crime against humanity on an industrial scale, and they should make sure to avoid being part of it. Kilgore urges Swedish doctors to safeguard professional ethics and not to work with, train, or participate in research with anyone involved in organ harvesting. MP Niklas Malmberg told the reporter that he had drafted a motion that would prevent Swedish citizens from going to China for organ transplants, similar to a law passed in Spain. MP Malmberg said it was the first step Sweden could take.
Yang Qing Procuratorate declines to charge Falun Gong practitioner. The Yang Qing District Procuratorate has decided not to charge a local woman awaiting trial for refusing to renounce Falun Gong, a spiritual discipline being persecuted by the Chinese Communist regime. Three officers raided Ms. Qin Xurong's home and arrested her on November 26, 2015. They released her on bail after holding her for 30 days. While Ms. Qin awaited trial, the local procuratorate twice returned the case to the police, citing insufficient evidence. Though the police gathered additional so-called evidence against Ms. Qin, the procuratorate eventually dismissed the case on the grounds that the evidence failed to prove Ms. Qin did anything unlawful. Ms. Qin was given two documents, one showing the procuratorate's decision not to indict her, while the other affirmed that her release on bail status had been terminated and she was completely free. The first document said that the procuratorate returned the case to police on June 8th and again on July 21st. Accordingly, the procuratorate twice postponed filing an indictment against Ms. Qin on July 9th and September 19th. Based on the procuratorate's own investigation, it continues, and the police investigation, the propaganda materials that were of the same format and contents did not exceed the allowable quantity for personal use. The crimes alleged by Yangqing Police Branch lacked factual support and sufficient evidence, thus it did not meet the requirements for bringing up an indictment. The second document says, since the procuratorate has decided not to charge you based on Article 77 of Criminal Procedure Law of the People's Republic of China, we now terminate your release on bail status. Ms. Chin, 53, had been taken to Daishu Town Police Station after her arrest on November 26, 2015, where she was twice restrained to an iron chair torture device with her limbs immobilized for more than 4 hours.
Hubei man tortured during 8 years of imprisonment. Having endured 8 years of imprisonment and brutal torture for his belief in Falun Gong, Hubei practitioner Mr. Fang Fang was released from the Fangjiatai prison on July 5, 2016. I was routinely beaten and verbally abused, regularly deprived of sleep, and forced to stand or sit on a small stool for long periods of time for days on end. At Fangjiatai, solitary confinement and intense brainwashing are used as means to force Falun Gong practitioners to renounce their belief. For not wearing the prison uniform, he was placed in solitary confinement for 76 days just prior to his release. He was not allowed to brush his teeth or take a shower and was denied visitation rights. Physical violence against prisoners of conscience is commonplace in China's correctional facilities. Mr. Fang has been subjected to various torture methods, including shocking with electric batons, beatings, solitary confinement, and being cuffed and shackled in a fixed position for days. Mr. Fang recounted his experience. Arrested for my belief. I started practicing Falun Gong in 2004 after I witnessed how my parents had benefited from it. I quickly regained my health and got rid of many bad habits. I became honest and considerate and took on a whole new outlook on life. However, my newborn spirituality attracted attention from the local authorities. I was taken from my home in July 2008 and sentenced to 8 years in prison. I was taken to the notorious Fangjiatai prison in May 2009. In February 2012, division head He Kai, under the influence of alcohol, beat and shocked me in the mouth with an electric baton when I didn't respond to roll call. The entire division of 150 inmates witnessed the violence. Cuffed and shackled for 7 days. I was again taken back to a small cell in late May. I was cuffed and shackled and locked down for 7 days straight. I had not been allowed to sleep for 2 days prior to that. My wrists had deep cuts by day 6, but the guards didn't care. The cuffs irritated the already infected wounds, with pus oozing out. I feel numbness in my fingers to this day, after more than 4 years. The scar on my right wrist is still visible. The mistreatment didn't stop when I was hospitalized from the beatings. The medical staff and the guards decided to only let me sleep from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., and I was to stand for the remaining 20 hours of the day. 4 inmates took turns monitoring me. I was in the hospital for 10 months, from August 2012 to May 2013.
From martial arts to meditation to cultivation, a young Italian man's spiritual journey. Davide, a 22-year-old sociology major from Milan, Italy, said his search for a spiritual path began at a young age. His interest in martial arts and meditation finally led him to take up Falun Dafa 2 years ago. Davide said he has been interested in Asian culture since his early childhood. He spent over 10 years learning martial arts from both China and Japan. In time, he also became curious about different meditation systems. He recalled, in high school, my friends and I used to sit together to meditate. We did not have a teacher, but we did it anyway because we all enjoyed it. The group stopped after graduation as they went to colleges in different cities and countries. However, one of them, who went to a university in the Netherlands, later told Davide that he had found a very good spiritual practice for cultivating mind and body. He said it was called Falun Dafa, and he gave me a copy of Juan Falun in Italian, said Davide. Though he didn't read the book right away, he later noticed many positive changes in his friend. He quit drinking and smoking. He became nicer and did much better in school. As his friend gave the credit to Falun Dafa, Davide finally decided to read the book. The profound principles in the book resonated with Davide. I told myself that I will be a Falun Dafa practitioner and that this is a new beginning in my life. As he continued to improve in his newfound cultivation practice, Davide also learned more and more about the mistreatment of people with the very same faith in China. Naturally, he joined others to hold events in Milan to inform the public about Falun Dafa and the persecution in China. They also went to other countries for similar events. Davide worked with another practitioner at his university to reach out to professors about the persecution. They were very supportive, and we planned to host some film screenings on campus about the suppression in China. Having practiced Falun Dafa for 2 years, Davide said his initial excitement has turned into deeper understandings. Speaking of a plan for the future, he said he is not sure yet about going to work or pursuing a graduate degree, but one thing is for sure, my cultivation practice of Falun Dafa will continue forever.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.